Everybody's ready with you.
Let's see if we can finish James today. James 5.
You might have already finished it.
No, we almost did. Well, let's start at 13 again, just to bring us everybody up to date. Chapter 5, verse 13 in James. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, that the word afflicted there, remember, is the one that's it means to suffer hardness, or it's just you're going through crap, but it's not your sickness. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the example he gave, this is where we ended yesterday, is Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And that's that kind of prayer seems impossible. We don't see that today, but we're supposed to see it today.
What was different about him than us?
Nothing.
And why did his prayers do have that power?
Because our prayers are mixed with flesh.
You think his weren't? He's of like passions like we are, no different.
He saw Christ, and that was the end of his like passions. So why don't we? Why don't we pray? Why don't we receive whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven? If there's any sick among you, let him pray, and he'll be healed. This is important. The question is, why doesn't that happen? And I believe the reason it doesn't happen is our prayers are mixed with flesh, or as James said earlier. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You ask. Anyway, it goes on and on.
Maybe we don't have enough faith.
Well, that's obvious. But why don't we have faith? Why do we do everything possible to keep our minds alive? If any man love the world, again, if any man gives importance to anything in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think this nation is so, this world is so apostate that we tend to not expect it when we pray. We sort of dance around it. But it's because we're not living by faith alone, in my opinion. Anybody have any response to that?
I can't remember what the story was on Elijah there praying for rain. Was he supposed to, or did he just come up with that? Or,
yeah.
I mean, if God hasn't told me to pray for rain, so maybe that's why it hasn't happened to me.
Let's go to 1 Kings, was it? That's where we left yesterday.
I don't think we met the 1 Kings.
What is it, chapter 18?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, chapter 18. 17. 18.
400. 1 Kings what?
18. 1 Kings chapter 18. What was going on? This is right after the contest at Mount Carmel, where the 450 prophets of Baal, really, where the Elijah challenged them. And one of the greatest things in and if you remember the story, he had them prepare for a sacrifice, and they did all the stuff. Then, but the fire didn't start. Their prayers didn't work. And let's go to 25. No, 20. Well, we read this yesterday, but let's do it again because it's important. Starting verse 23. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire thereunder. And call upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry loud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or perhaps peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they were prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that reigned. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, and unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood on the altar in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid them on the wood, and said, "Fill your barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time," and they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time," and they did it the third time. And water ran about the altar. He filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and wood and stones, and the dust licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, he is the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God, the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishron and slew them there. And then Elijah prayed for rain. They were already in a drought, and he prayed for rain. He asked for no rain, but it did not rain. It'd be previous. And it was all to get to this point, to show. And that's what James used as the example. He was made of likeness as we are. I wonder how one man killed 450 men.
Yeah.
There had to be more going on there. But anyway, back to James. Isn't it your desire that we would manifest this faith?
Yeah.
We need to look at ourselves and see. First of all, examine ourselves. Prove that we're in the faith. Know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But Jesus Christ is in anyone, everyone, but they don't know it. But how much of our daily activities are really to the prophets of Baal instead of the God? Do we believe it when it says, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin"? There's nothing in my experience with God that's more frightening than that. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Because there's Christ in you, and he is always of faith, but we mix him with the flesh, we mix with our minds. And so then we become the prophets of Baal because of that mixing. We have all the other gods that we carry on our shoulders, just as they did. If they carried him visibly, we carry him invisibly. We have the 7 mountains of Canaan that had to be taken. Every man, woman, and child had to be killed. And that's the 7 high places of our mind. And you must destroy all of those voices, because God's not going to honor prayer from a prophet, a believer in Baal, because we give just as much importance to our plans as we do to God. So my desire, more than anything in the universe, is that we would show forth, each one of us, that kind of faith, that we would know that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a biggie. Any response?
Amen. I was thinking of Baal. It just means Lord.
Yeah, Baal is a Baal and Balaam. I mean,
yeah, it's just the word that means Lord. Like you could say, "I love the Lord." It's like, what is that?
Amen. The prophets of Baal. That's what Christianity has become. Anybody else? Any response?
What are these lords all about that they worship the Baal? I mean, it's
cause and effect.
You said cause and effect, but
many other things. Politics. Success.
Things that will make you successful or prosper other than God Himself. So it's all the things that you put your faith in. You know. They all had a local Baal. Baal of this, Baal of Lakewood, the Baal of Fort Worth.
Baal of, well, I mean, just everything that is not of faith. So the Balaam would be many, many things. Whatever you give importance to in the world is your Balaam. And last night's Bible study, why didn't I remember it was Friday? I still can't. I mean, it was Thursday. I still can't get over that.
So you almost misremembered that it was Friday.
That was just over the top right there. Anyway, last night's Bible study, we started talking about the Heidelberg Disputations, which is what Luther, that's what really caused the Reformation, and that's we were talking about the Gerhard Ford's book on being a theologian of the cross. We didn't get very far, but it sure is obvious. I pray that we would see how anything other than faith and your death is this. Becomes your theology of glory instead of the theology of the cross. And it cuts across everything. Let's look at 1 Corinthians for a minute. Chapter 1. This is really the trigger point for Luther. That just blew his mind. And that's what started him on the path to everything he did. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Remember what prudent means, that it's prudent means one and one is two.
The logical.
Hmm?
Logical. Would that be true?
Well, that's part of it, yeah. But to say, you know, one and one is two, or whatever the issue is, it's to use the world's basis for it. And these are the all of the things that we learned of how to live and how to act and how to behave. Those are the gods that our father of our fathers. And we have so many of them we don't even recognize we have them. So, but here he said, the cross, the preaching of the cross, will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Being not prudent is foolishness in the eyes of man. All right. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And it's the foolishness of the preaching of the cross, because that's the subject of it. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolish. One of the things in this Heidelberg Disputation that Luther did is he showed how Plato and his writings had entered the church. And the one main point that was making fun of Plato, really. Plato said that God, if he really is God, does nothing that is evil, that we would think is evil. But if something evil happens, you must not ascribe it to God. You must ascribe its cause to something else. Wait a minute, I have that here. I'm going to read that. I think I have it. I do have it. This is a break in the study. Will I find it? Yeah, here it is. God, according to the philosophers like Plato, is not the cause of all things, but only what we might call good. This in reality puts them in the place of God. They cannot understand how God would be involved in the cross, how God could be involved in the cross. And the quote from Plato's Republic is, then God, if he be good, is not the author of all things, as the many assert, but he is the cause of a few things only, and not of most things that occur to men. For few are the goods of human life, and many are the evils, and the good is to be attributed to God alone. It's just of the evils that cause are to be sought, the cause of the evils are to be sought elsewhere and not in him or not in God. And that's what we do. That little few sentences influence Christianity probably more than anything. It influenced us. It's very difficult. It was and has been very difficult for me to attribute all of the pain that I have to God. But then, you know, I might talk about it, but it was not, you know, really when I was in the terrible positions of throwing up and doing, I mean, letting stuff come out wherever there's a place, anyway. And then I heard that voice, that was my voice, I didn't, it was God, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain. And that altered my universe. Because before I accepted, I talked about, but I really, at the core, I thought that God didn't do anything that was evil in our mind. And that's part of the theology of glory instead of the theology of the cross. Everybody understand that?
Yeah, I was thinking the wisdom of the world could never get to the point of even coming up with the idea of the cross. That's why it's a stomach block. They're like going like,
well, the cross,
how could that possibly, you know, have anything to do with, you know, God or anything?
Remember that the cross was, the purpose of the cross, many times they killed the person before and then put them on the cross. But the purpose of the cross was to shame the one being, but to shame his family and his associates. And so the core cause of the cross was shame. In their minds. But we don't see that. We've sugarcoated everything, so you know, we think the cross is something we wear around our neck and a necklace or but continuing on real quick. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both the Jew and Greek, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now we one of the things when you look at the definition of all those words, the base things and the foolish things, that's the vehicle by which that we are the that the world is crucified unto us, and we are crucified unto the world. so that there's nothing about our lives that would be desirable to the world. And just as there should be nothing about us that has any truck with anything that is in the world. We give nothing in the world importance. There's no ranking of anything. It's just vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Everything in the world. But if we continue like living our lives just like everybody else does, then there is no offense of the cross. Does everybody get that a little bit?
Yeah, you're talking about, you know, it's to shame the associates. It's like, well, we're associated with the cross. Well, we don't realize we take on that shame.
Right.
You know, that's what you're talking about. We sugarcoat it so we can, you know, keep going in our
living our lives instead of dying. Anyhow, anybody have any response besides Mr. Rutledge? It's pretty heavy. Whosoever gives importance to the world, the love of God is no longer in him. But anyway, that really from 18 to 25 is what prompted Luther to prepare this Heidelberg Disputation, which really caused the nailing of the 95 Theses was one small part of it, but the main cause, according to scholars that I've read, is that his Heidelberg Disputation and the logic and clarity of it was what caused the Reformation. And that's what we need today. We need the third wave of Christianity. The first wave was the first century church. The second wave was the Reformation. And now more than anything else, we need the third way.
Yeah.
This cuts to the core of our very being. And the foolishness of just putting Christ's name on our flesh and then excuse what we do that is against faith. Consider these things.
I do have a comment here. We preach Christ crucified, which is very different than preaching what the Jews preach about, you know, requiring a sign or activities of God or something you can look at and see and make sense of. Oh, there's God. And the Greeks want to do the prudent thing and it all adds up and be logical and make sense of God. And yet here comes Christians or whoever preaching Christ crucified, Christ of God, who is then killed, doesn't make any sense. It's not a good sign. Nobody wants to buy that God allows his son to be killed. And yet, that's where the entire power and message of the gospel is buried, in that's the love of God, which doesn't make sense to Jews or Greeks. But if we see it, it makes all the sense in the universe. That's God coming against all flesh in every form and manner. he has no truck with flesh, and through the Jews, Greeks, or whatever message there is, but the preaching of Christ, God, killed, shamed, hung on a cross, there's something that destroys you as a person if you believe that. And then the fruit of that, or what comes then, is this not buying into the Greeks, not buying into the Jews. You're able to repent because it's stupid. You've already seen God at work. And that's so much more powerful and ultimately attractive, because I believe it's Christ in you that connects with that. That's the synapse of your relationship with God.
Yeah, it's not just preaching Christ, living Christ, it's preaching Christ to crucify and dying with him.
Yeah.
What did it say on we read on Yom Kippur, the only sign Jesus said he'd give was the sign of Jonah.
Yeah.
You know, which was
a bad one.
In the belly of a whale 3 days.
All right.